Welcome to the Real Estate Mindset Podcast, hosted by Eric Nelson and brought to you by Wild Oak Capital. Eric is a real estate investor, business owner, and performance coach. Throughout this series, Eric explores the mindset behind why certain investors are so successful and how we can learn from their achievements and failures. Eric asks the tough questions around the habits, discipline, mindset, and more required to achieve the most ambitious goals. Thank you for being here and enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Real Estate Mindset Podcast. This is your host, Eric Nelson. And today's guest, Taylor's awesome. She has tons of energy, like really cool attitude. You can just tell she's just, you know, very smart, obviously, but just a ton of cool mindset tips. I mean, it's kind of like a standard, very good, solid person. And you can tell she just has that why that she's after. And so you'll hear her talk about all that throughout the show. Really, really good episode. So I really enjoyed it. So without further ado, I'll bring in Taylor. Taylor Adams, thank you so much for taking the time. This is really cool to have you on. Appreciate you being here.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
So, I mean, I know a lot of podcasts start this way, but I kind of enjoy it, right? Like, give us your background, a little bit of what led you to where you are. Cause, you know, I'm really excited to get to know you a little bit. And from what I read, you kind of started your journey maybe a little bit during pregnancy, that type of stuff. So it's a really powerful story. So if you could just kind of give us a little of your background and kind of what led you to where you are.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started investing in real estate back in 2018. It was kind of by accident, honestly. My husband and I were both working in the city of Austin and we needed to live close to the city. And as most people know, it's quite expensive to live near the city. So we were like, you know what? Why don't we buy a multifamily? We'll live in one unit. We'll rent out the other. So we house hacked before we knew what house hacking was. And we were like, this is an unlocking mechanism. We want to do more of this. And so what that turned into was out-of-state investing, both long-term and short-term rentals. And so what happened in 2020, I was 4 months pregnant with my first daughter, and we were making this really big transition in our lives. I had just left my W-2 job so that I could focus on real estate full-time. And so I was also dabbling as a real estate agent just to kind of do that for a little bit. And we made the decision that I would stop doing that for a little bit until we figured out, you know, it was only going to be 2 weeks of a pandemic. And then we would figure out what was the next step. And obviously that turned into 3 years. And so what happened during that time is I can't sit still and I have to be productive. And I wanted to continue to push forward on all things real estate. And things were kind of in a steady state with our properties and we weren't growing. We were definitely just focused on management state. And so what I did instead is I started focusing on real estate education, specifically for women, and how they can take control of their finances and invest in real estate. And so that kind of has led me to where I am today and a lot of the new work that we're doing. And I just retired my husband at the beginning of the month.
Nice.
And it's thank you. It's kind of been a crazy journey. So that's a little bit of my backstory.
Cool. So a couple of things I want to touch on is, I mean, first of all, thanks for sharing. That's an amazing story. It's interesting how like giving back, like providing some education is so powerful. Like, it's so funny. Like, I talk about this all the time. If you come from a place of serving, typically speaking, you're going to get so much more in return. So I love that. So can you talk a little bit more about what that looks like, education for women? And you know, I completely agree. More women probably need to be empowered in this space. It's such a powerful place and it doesn't have to be so man-centric. I know that that's probably not necessarily like politically correct to say, but it's true. So it's really cool that you know, women are kind of leading and stepping out and saying, you know, this is a space for everybody. So talk about what the education looks like.
100%. And I mean, you make such a good point. I mean, I was going to networking events pre-pandemic and I would sometimes be the only woman there. And it was kind of weird, not gonna lie. And so this has transformed basically into a community focused on women building generational wealth using real estate. And so I truly believe that generational wealth, specifically for women, but for families in general, is so incredibly important because it just gives us options. You know, whether we have families of our own or we have things that we want to give back to, if we want to get involved in the community, what does that look like for us? And we can use our own why to lead in building our own wealth. And so what it is, basically, I'm doing coaching for women who are interested in investing in real estate. I also provide tons of just free educational content on all of my channels and recently joined a group of other investor women in an investor club as one of their leaders to help women when it comes to budgeting, real estate, and other types of investing. And it's called Invest Like a Woman. So it's become multifaceted and it's a really exciting journey.
Oh, so cool. So I have a lot of questions around what you specifically do as well. And let's talk about, so first of all, house hacking is an incredible tool. In fact, my wife and I still house hack. I think it's one of the best tools out there. And it's interesting that you have the story that's like by accident, because I think a lot of people do that. You know, they like fall into a duplex or maybe like inherit a rental or just buy a rental. I mean, that's honestly my story. We just bought a rental because I was like, I think real estate's a good investment before I got educated. I mean, this was 6-7 years ago, but still is like kind of by accident. So I kind of love that story. I think people relate to that. So talk about now what, I mean, if you're okay talking about your portfolio, what do you guys own? Are you still buying? Like, what are you kind of going after?
Yeah, absolutely. So right now at this current moment, we are in the process of turning over our original portfolio to scale it up. So our original portfolio consisted of a 2-family that we house hacked, a 5-unit in Memphis, and then a single family in Memphis. And we have turned over the house hack as well as the single family. We still have the 5-unit, and we've turned those 2 properties into our current house hack, which is also a duplex, and 2 short-term rentals, 1 in the Smoky Mountains and 1 in Crystal Beach, Texas. And we just closed on those 2 properties. It'll be just about 6 months ago. We kind of closed on them at the same time. It was one of those things where it was just like opportunity was presenting itself. We were like, yeah, why not? Why not both?
Oh, that's awesome. So tell me how you found the short-term rentals. And then, because I think it's a really popular space right now, and I think there's a lot of cash flow from it, but how did you find them? And then maybe let's get into a little bit of detail about underwriting, like how you knew they'd be a good deal, that type of stuff.
Absolutely. So we knew that we were interested in something that would be a little bit more high cash flow. Our goal was to be able to work together, my husband and I. We wanted him to be able to leave his W-2 job, come and work with me on my creator business, but also on the properties. And so to do that, we knew that we needed something that was a little bit more high cash flow, which is what led us to short-term rentals. And what happened was we have a very close friend of ours who was helping me in the women's networking space, and they bought their first short-term rental in the Smoky Mountains, and they were having a lot of success. And we were like, well, that's very interesting. Let's find out more. And so I'm not sure if you're familiar with Avery Carl. She is pretty big in the short-term rental space. She's been on Bigger Pockets and everywhere, basically. And so she did something really, really brilliant. She has her own brokerage and she also invests in short-term rentals. And so she opened different offices in the markets where she invests and where she also thinks that there will be potential to purchase in the future. And so she's built this community of people who are interested in short-term rentals. And she is able to be like, oh, you're interested in this type of market? Here's your agent, go for it. You're interested in this type of market? Here's your agent, go for it. It's brilliant. She's definitely the first person that I know of that's done that. And so that's how we got led into short-term rentals. I personally had Avery on our old podcast that I used to have. And I was so intrigued by what she had created that we were like, you know what? Let's give it a try and let's go into the Smokies. And then as far as figuring out the numbers, because that's obviously the most important part when it comes to any type of real estate investment. So we're really big on market evaluation. We are very focused on out-of-state investing. That has been a big thing for us. So we felt pretty comfortable exploring a market that was, you know, many states away. We already were in Tennessee anyway, so we were fairly familiar with that market. The thing for short-term rentals, my biggest thing for short-term rentals is finding established vacation markets. In the last 2-3 years, there's been huge shifts on regulations around short-term rentals, specifically Airbnb. And And so if you're in an established vacation market, it's far less likely that someone's going to come in and just completely change the rules because it's their entire economy. So that's the first thing. Obviously, the Smoky Mountains is a huge market for vacations. So we knew that going in. And then once you dig down into the market, the next piece is really digging into the properties. And what does that look like? What does the occupancy rate look like? The average nightly rate? And so then you're 25th percentile versus your 75th percentile when it comes to your revenue. And so there's a couple different platforms that you can utilize to get that data because that data exists, which is really helpful. So AirDNA is incredibly helpful for getting that info, but it's a little limiting in that you have to pay per market. So if you're kind of exploring different markets and trying to decide, you know, do I want to be in Gatlinburg or do I want to be in Sevierville, Tennessee? You have to pay per market. So it's just a little bit of upfront cost that's kind of a pain. So I recently discovered this website. It's called data.rabu.com. I can send you the info. And it's free. And it's all the same data that Airbnb provides. And so you're able to pull all of those numbers and just look and see what approximately a property would, how it would perform in that market. I've run the data against my own properties and it's accurate. So I feel very good about that.
Yeah. That's actually what I was going to ask is like how close it was. Cause I,
yeah,
you know, and I'll let you finish first, but we'll come back to AirDNA and all that. But it's interesting to hear that it was accurate because that was going to be my next question.
I wasn't sure if it was going to be because it was free, but they are actually pulling, they're using the Airbnb API data to just pull that information out. So the information is accurate, which is great. So once we have those numbers and we're looking at what the approximate revenue is like, which is very helpful. It's a little bit different than long-term rentals because the numbers already kind of exist in a more specific way. What we're able to do is just look at what's the housing price? What is the down payment look like? What are we looking at for the revenue that we're going to get? And kind of rule of thumb for short-term rentals, about 50% of your revenue will be profit. So it's a fairly easy formula to work through when it comes to short-term rentals. But I think the biggest cost that is often overlooked when it comes to purchasing a short-term rental is actually just the startup, you know, furnishing. You have to fill the entire kitchen with kitchenware. And it's like buying it's like buying your own house. So that's something that I think a lot of people forget. They're like, oh, the down payment, now I'm good. And it's like, no, it's another 15 grand to really get up and running.
Yeah, that's actually super helpful and a good tip. Because like, you know, I've been personally looking at vacation rentals for a long time. Never pulled the trigger because it just never really quite made sense. But some of them I've seen are like already furnished. So I'm like, that is actually like, yeah, somewhere between $15,000-$20,000 bonus if it's furnished well. And how, you know, it's honestly my wife, how my wife would want it to be furnished. But absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think this is really cool to hear this. So are you guys managing these yourselves? You have third-party management?
Yeah, so we're doing a combo pack. We are self-managing the majority. And then we have our friend who has her properties in the Smokies. She has taken on guest communication for us. So we'll manage all the contractors and everybody else who comes along with the property. And she manages the guest communication. So it's been a really nice balance.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Cause it seems like some people like the communication, some people like to text guests and some people don't. Right. So this is kind of what we always talk about. Like find your skills, outsource the ones you don't want to do or don't like doing. So this is really cool. So you said you're kind of scaling. Are you thinking you're going to head more for more vacation rentals or short-term rentals? Or are you headed towards multifamily? Where are you headed from here?
Yeah. So the plan is to continue to pick up short-term rentals. So I think our next purchase will be again in the Smokies. That's been a really successful market for us. I mean, it's very consistent. It's fairly year-round, which is also an interesting thing about short-term rentals because some areas can be very seasonal, but the Smokies is fairly year-round. So I think we'll pick up one there probably within the next year and probably three. I think the plan is three more the following year. So we would like to scale that short-term rental portfolio probably in the same markets. I think we'd like to do some up here in New England. Be nice to be able to go to one every once in a while when it's vacant, you know, that's always a bonus.
So I guess, you know, a lot of people ask this question is like, do you go to yours? Like, do you go to the beach? Do you go to the Smokies when and stay there? I mean, do you get to enjoy it?
Yeah. So we've never been to either of them. I would very much like to go, but it has, you know, it hasn't been very long yet. And we're just getting out of the high season. The summer is super, super busy. So things will quiet down in the next 2 or 3 months. And I think we're planning a big game room renovation at our Smoky Mountains property. So hoping we can make a trip down there, maybe do a little work ourselves. That would be really fun.
Oh, cool. That'd be awesome. Because I think that's one draw too, like, you know, to be able to go and stay and block that time off for your family or whatever, you know, so that's really cool. So Taylor, you know, we can always shift gears a little bit, ask a series of questions here. And of course, it just leads into more. I mean, I love your story. So I can want to continue that. I mean, within the question, of course, you know, there's just guidance, right? But I'd love to hear more about what you thought. So the first question, you know, I typically ask is like, what books are you reading or what books can you recommend?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the book that I always come back to recommending, and it's kind of, I feel like it's kind of a funny one because it's very focused on real estate agent, but I think it's applicable to anybody. It's called The 7 Levels of Communication, and it's all about the strategy around networking. And I think one of the big things about real estate investing is your network. I mean, even just during the course of this podcast, I think I've named like a million people that have been helpful on our journey. And I think having a really powerful strategy around your networking and how you are keeping in touch with these important contacts will make your growth so much faster and so much more effective. So that is one book I feel like I always am going back to and referring to. So I would definitely recommend that one.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I think, and I don't think I've ever heard that on this show, but I think that's really powerful. I mean, sometimes I fall short of this. Like communication, especially with your contacts, is so valuable and so important. And sometimes you forget, like, there's a bunch of different ways to keep in touch with certain people, and certain people like communication other ways. So it's nice to have different platforms, email, newsletter, text, whatever it is that person prefers. So that's a great tip.
Yeah, absolutely. Meet them where they are.
Yep. Taylor, do you have a morning routine that you can share with us? Or maybe just a daily routine?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am trying to be more of a morning person. I have a 2-year-old, so it's been a little bit hard. But I usually get up around 6:30. I do a little bit of a workout. And if I'm having one of those days where I'm just like, I don't really want to work out, but I still want to move my body in a way that's going to get me energized and put me in the mood to work for the day, I'll just do a little bit of a yoga routine. And then the next piece of my morning is having breakfast with my husband. We sit, we have our breakfast together, we talk about the day, we talk about what's going on in our business. And that's a really great way to get motivated because it realigns me with my why every morning. And then right before I start on my emails, I do some affirmations specifically around money and around mindset, making sure that I'm really aligned there with everything. And if I feel like I am just having one of those days where just things are not really, they're not moving the way that they should be moving, and I'm just feeling not that great, I'll do a journaling and I'll just put it all out there, because I think just getting that out of my brain so that I can move forward and reduce that mental load is really helpful in me being able to just move forward and have a really effective day.
That's such a good tip about journaling, because there's those days that like everything could be or should be maybe going well, but for whatever reason, they're not. So that's awesome tip, is like, just put it out there. Why are you feeling the way you are? So you touched on it a couple of times. Before I get to the next question, you said your why. So are you willing to share kind of what would you describe as your why?
Yeah, absolutely. So my why is definitely to have the time and financial freedom to spend with my family. And so when I came up with that why, that was pre my daughter. And so it really just was me and my husband. And we knew that we really wanted to work together and spend as much time together as possible. And so since having my daughter, I feel like it's become an even stronger why, because now it's us as a family unit. I want us to be able to be work optional, be able to go and have a picnic at the park in the middle of the day and have that really strong connection. So whenever I'm feeling, you know, like I was saying before, like I'm not aligned and it's not working, I will think about what this bigger why is and, you know, why the heck I'm doing any of this anyway. And it's very helpful.
Yeah, I love that. I think like setting a vision, setting like your why is maybe one of the most powerful things you can possibly do. Like I say this on the show way too often, is like, if you have a powerful why, a powerful reason behind it, it's so much more powerful than money or any other motivator. definitely money, in my opinion. It's just the reason for even achieving or getting money or wealth or whatever. It's like all that stuff. So yeah, great tip. So next question is around coaching or mentoring. Have you ever had like a coach, mentor? If they were paid for, was it worth it?
Yeah. So I've done a few different coaching styles, worked with a few different people. So I did more of like a mastermind style a couple years ago, and that ended up not being effective for me. Just I think because of the way that I learn, I'm a very visual learner. I need all of the documentation right there in front of me. And that wasn't super effective for me, but I know that it was effective for other people in that group. I have been in a coaching program for the last 2 years, and that has been way more effective, I think, because of the way that she approaches it. It's very mindset focused. It's very putting you at control of your business. And when you come and you have a question, she'll ask you, well, Taylor, you're in charge of your business. You're the CEO of your business. What do you think? What do you want to do? And I think bringing the power back to yourself has been the thing that has been the most effective with that type of coaching. So I think finding the right type of coaching and mentorship for you is really important. And just because one style didn't work doesn't mean that no style will work.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, again, fantastic tips. I love coaching. I love mentoring. But what you described is so, so important. It's like, find the right group, coach, whatever it is for you. And then you also talked about like bringing the power back to you. I think the best coach, in my opinion, I mean, again, everyone's different, is like basically just asking the right questions at the right time, you know, and letting you kind of roll with it. So my coach's name is Jens. He's like, what's another way you can look at it? Or like, how do you think that you might be able to get over that hurdle? Like stuff like that, where it's like, then you just kind of spitball. Sometimes he'll provide just straight up advice, you know, and that's pretty rare. But I think just the like power to think it through, talk about solutions, take the time in your head. It's super, super powerful. And again, it's not for everybody, but that's what I resonate with. But you know, those tips again around finding the right group is super powerful. So what's like a, I try not to use the word mistake, but what's like a learning lesson or maybe something you wouldn't repeat we can learn from?
Yeah, that's a great question. So our first property, I always say that it was the best and worst investment that we ever made. And it was the best investment because it got us into real estate and we learned so much. And it was the worst investment because it was a lot of work, and not necessarily in like physical work. Yes, it was a big renovation project. It was built in 1890 and it was, you know, bubblegum and duct tape over the last probably 100 years in that house. So that was a challenge. But something that I didn't really take into consideration when it came to a house hack, that's different than a long-term rental or a short-term rental, is you are actually living there. So it has to be somewhere that you are okay living. We had a lot of neighbor problems. I didn't really like the area. It wasn't aligned with what I like to do. I love to be able to walk to a town and be able to get outside. And that was not an option there. So I think that the best advice I could give when house hacking or doing anything where you are physically going to be staying in the location is that is the one time where I would personally invest thought into, would I want to be here? When you're looking at a long-term or a short-term rental, yes, of course you want it to be comfortable for your tenants and for your guests, but it might not be totally aligned with you as a person. A house hack is completely different.
Yeah, that's a great tip because it's totally different for you. Like that's your home, right? That's like where you relax and you spend a lot of time. And yeah, I love that tip. So the next question is kind of two part. The first part is what is your definition of success?
Oh, I love that question. So my definition of success would be being in a place that you feel secure. I'm definitely big on feeling a certain sense of certainty in my life. That is, I'm very aligned with that. And so for me, feeling very certain of my position financially, emotionally, with my family would mean success to me. It's not necessarily tied to a number. It's tied to a feeling and feeling secure and having consistency.
Yeah, that's so good. I mean, I love that question too, because like everyone's thought or feeling around it is totally different. So when people say they've achieved success, it's like, well, in whose book, right?
And Exactly.
So the second part of that question I always ask is like, what do you think separates people? I mean, what do you think, given your definition, what do you think some people, why do you think some people are successful and others maybe not so much?
Yeah, I think, I honestly really think it goes back to mindset and to your why. I think that if you, like we've talked about, if you are really strongly aligned with your why, you have a very strong why. Someone once said that your why should make you cry. And I love that because I think that it makes your why that much more powerful. Because I think when it comes to success in the way that I described it anyway, having a mindset where you feel like you are in abundance and like you are in a good, quote unquote, good place is really the thing that makes you feel like you've achieved it. I've made it. I'm here. But if you don't have a good mindset and you feel that scarcity in the work that you're doing, the life that you're living, you're never going to feel like it's enough.
Yeah. I mean, I can't agree with you more. It's so true. And it's like you're chasing this like never ending target, really.
Yeah.
Again, I think lots of people like maybe have a money number in their head or something. Mm-hmm. It's like, and typically when you get there, it's just, they just move the target, just move the goalpost. Yeah. It's never enough. Right. But if you have what you're describing as like a why, and you know why you're enjoying maybe progress, then that tends to be more powerful. So I mm-hmm. completely agree with what you just said. Taylor, how can people reach out to you if they want to find your content and learn more about you and reach out with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me on all the channels at Taylor Coleman Adams. I am very active on Instagram and TikTok. TikTok has really picked up in the last couple weeks. So tons of content over there. And you can also just go to my website, taylorcolemanadams.com. I made it really easy by giving you all the same handles everywhere.
Awesome. Yeah, I love it. Taylor, thanks for being on. This is incredible. I really appreciate your time. I've learned a ton. Thanks for being on.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
So I got a ton out of that show. I really enjoyed it. She's awesome. Very smart. Very cool the way that she talks about her, you know, the first house being the best and worst purchase. I think that's really common. But the lesson to be taken is sometimes it just takes action and you're never really going to learn in real life until you try it. So I'm really glad she gave that tip. But overall, just a great show. So thanks for being here. If you could, please give me a review. Tell some friends about it. I want to get the word out about real estate. It's a pretty powerful tool. So again, thanks for your time. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Real Estate Mindset Podcast. If you've enjoyed the content today, please follow this show wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to head over to wildoakcapital.com for more information or to connect with Eric directly. Please take a moment to leave a review or tell a friend about what you've listened to today. We hope you'll tune in again soon.